Hi, Gail. Gail, this is Gary and Linda. We're coming into the call right now. It's been really good to hear everyone. And I just want to thank you for greeting everyone as they came on. And it was good to hear your voices. And we're really looking forward to this call, looking forward to being with you today. And I wanted to say we're excited to be with you. And we're excited to hear about your experiences of the last week, about, you know, during the election and all that's happened since then for you. And we also want to share a perspective that we feel is helpful and accurate. We ask you not to believe what we're saying. We ask you, as we always say, but to try it out, to see if what we're saying may be true for you as well. So, beloved, I'd really love to talk. Let's begin our talk about the election. It's not really about the election, but learning about yourself.
Hello, everyone. This call is going to be a little different today because we're going to talk about things that we haven't talked about before. Now, of course, we're going to be talking about creating authentic power. That's why we're together. That's why we'll always be together. We're going to be talking about spiritual partnerships too. And we've talked about these things from the very beginning of our events and in our books and in our times together. But today we're going to put them in a slightly different perspective. Now, the topic of this call is, what did you learn about yourself from your experiences of this election? Now, that in itself is really the same thing that we always talk about, isn't it? What can you learn about yourself from your experiences in the Earth School? Because those experiences will activate either frightened parts of your personality or loving parts of your personality. And once you know what they are using emotional awareness, then you can choose to act either with love or with fear. In other words, make a responsible choice. And when you make a choice of love, you create constructive, healthy, wholesome consequences. Now, what happens when you make a choice from fear? Well, as you know, you create destructive, unhealthy consequences. Because the pursuit of external power, which means all pursuits of fear, produce only violence and destruction. Now we're going to see how that comes into the election, not only in terms of your learning from your experiences of the election, but from a slightly different context. Excuse me. Some of you are depressed or even horrified by the result of this election. And some of you may be jubilant from the results of this election. Now, as you know, depression, horror, any kind of pushing away is the experience of a frightened part of your personality. And jubilation or buoyancy or happiness at getting what you want is also an experience of a frightened part of your personality.
I think we need to go into that a little more, beloved, because we're not saying that you don't have loving parts of your personality that can't be joyful and excited and feeling good about something, but we're talking about when a frightened part gets what it wants, and that's when it gets what it wants, so it's happy for the moment.
That's right. So that's happiness. Oh, excuse me again. But you can also be very happy if a frightened part of your personality gets what it wants. These are experiences of fear. So you know how to use your experiences of this election and the outcome of it to create authentic power by not letting yourself get distracted.
But what I think people may be saying is, what do you mean when I'm happy? You're saying that comes from fear? Is that true?
Yes. When you are happy, that's because you've gotten something that you want, that's an experience of fear. when you align your personality with your soul, when you are in a loving part of your personality, when you create authentic power, that creates joy. Joy is different from happiness. Happiness is dependent on what happens in the world around you. It is dependent on what happens in the external world. Joy is not dependent on anything that happens outside of you. You are in the life school or in the master class immersion because you are interested in creating authentic power. And that's another way of saying creating joy in your life that is not dependent upon whether or not you can manipulate frightened parts of your personality, can manipulate the world around you. Joy, love, fulfillment, contentment, appreciation, caring. These are all things that are all experiences that come from love. And everything else comes from fear. So for example, if you're in a romantic relationship or you want to be, and the person that you want to be in the relationship finally says, I want to be in a romantic relationship with you too. And you feel on top of the world. That's happiness. How do you know? Because if she or he says, this isn't working out, and in fact I found someone else I'd rather be with, then the roller coaster goes all the way down to the bottom. Every position on the roller coaster is an experience of fear. Joy is an experience of love. It doesn't go up, it doesn't go down, any more than the sun ceases to shine. It just does. And as you create authentic power, you create joy and meaning and fulfillment in your life. So now let's get back to the election. And I want to share some things with you that I haven't shared before. I want to apply, and I want you to apply with me, what we know about external power and the pursuit of it, and authentic power and the creation of it, to our collective endeavors, to our social structures. For example, to the social structure of government, because that's what we're talking about on this call. There's many others, as you know. There's, or as you can realize, if you think about it, there's education, health, environment, there's the economy, there's business, there's media, there's jurisprudence, there's science, there's the military. So now let's bring this conversation back to a focal point of the social structure of governance. Well, we can keep the view wide for a minute and say this. When you look around you and really observe, you will see that all of our social structures are based on the perception of power as external. That means they don't have a future because our evolution now requires us to create authentic power, and the pursuit of external power has now become toxic. These are things that we can see and we can experiment with ourselves now that we are multisensory, are becoming multisensory. So now when we return to a particular social structure like governance and a particular election like the one that has just been completed in the United States, then we have some very interesting things to explore. If all of our social structures are based on the perception of power as external, and they are, and again, as Linda said, always reminds us, don't believe anything that I or Linda say just because we say it, but look into it yourself and see if it's true for you. But I will suggest that it will be true for anyone who looks into the social structures of humanity, that they are all based on the perception of power as external. And why is that? Even if you don't look into them, you know that they were created by a five-sensory species. A species that was evolving by surviving, and that was surviving by pursuing external power, by learning how to manipulate and control the external world. But we are a multisensory species now. We are evolving by growing spiritually. And we grow spiritually by creating authentic power, by learning how to align personality with soul. by learning how to develop the tools of emotional awareness and responsible choice and consulting intuition. And we know as we become multisensory that the only power that now exists, the only power that is fulfilling, the only power that has a future is authentic power. Well, what does that mean about the social structure of governance? Now, I'm going to use the example of the election in the United States and the form of governance that we have in the United States. But that's only because I'm American and I know most about this social structure. I don't know as much about how the workings of parliamentary systems. But what we say applies to all social, governmental, social, all social structures of governance. The social structure of governance in the United States is constitutional representative democracy. And we all know what that means. And it consists of a system of checks and balances. And most of us know what that means. There's the legislature, there's the executive, there's the judicial system. And they each have different functions in the social structure of governance. And within each of these different functions, there are other checks and balances. For example, different term lengths, different responsibilities. And the purpose of all of these is to harness conflicting pursuits of external power for the common good. That is the function of every five-sensory social structure of governance that involves the people who are governed. The harnessing of conflicting pursuits of external power for the common good. For example, maybe people in some states, maybe people in general are tired of endless warfare, and so they want to eliminate it. But maybe legislators who come from states that have large defense industry companies in their state don't want to affect the benefits that those industries give to their states. And so there's a conflicting interest, isn't it? In general, some people want the government smaller. They want fewer taxes for themselves. If they run businesses, they want fewer regulations. They want to be able to do what they choose to do. And they take it upon themselves to choose what is best for the country. Other people think that's not a good way to be because they don't trust people who run large corporations or what the stockholders want in those large corporations, because everybody knows that what the stockholders want is return on their income, the most return on their income they can get. And they want it frequently, every 3 months. So people who don't want business unregulated because it will be controlled by greed have one interest, and people who those are people who do want business regulated, and people who don't want freedom of action. They want the ability to provide the best products possible, and they are convinced that they will provide them at the most economical cost, and they do economical cost for themselves. So you can see with these different arguments, these are conflicting pursuits of external power. Because the sides that get the laws that they want win for the time being. The sides that get the people elected who agree with them win for the time being. The sides who get the regulators appointed who will follow the policies that they want win for the time being, and the other people lose for the time being. But that means that the conflict continues, and it is the social structure of governance that contains it. For example, there's no bloodshed in a democracy, and the losers don't die as they do in warfare, as they have throughout history. They live to fight another day. That means when the next election comes. And the winners aren't there for life. They have to defend their position. They have to convince people that their way of looking at things is the best. And they do that in the next election. But they get the benefit of doing it from a position of more influence because they're incumbent. So all of this works well. In fact, the social structure of five sensory governance, and in my opinion, the governmental system that we have in the United States is the finest that can be developed. In other words, it's not broken. It was designed to contain or to harness conflicting pursuits of external power for the common good, and it has until very recently. And now, as you may have noticed, it's not doing that anymore. Conflicting pursuits of external power are creating what they can only do now, violence and destruction. And as a result, all five sensory social structures of governance are becoming dysfunctional. So we're wondering in the United States, why is it that one party seems to have gone off the rails because it doesn't care so much for the interest of the country as itself? And why is it that the other party seems to be as much dependent on money from large corporations and financial service industries as the other? What has gone wrong? And as you might have noticed, there's much less civility. And there's much more meanness. Now, here's the thing. There's always been meanness and lack of civility in democratic interactions, in conflicting pursuits of external power. But now, everyone has the correct sense that it's going in a detrimental direction, and it's not going to turn around. And people who have that sense are correct. They're correct because our governmental system itself is based on a flawed premise, an incorrect premise, a toxic premise, that power is the ability to manipulate and to control. So what does this mean in terms of the election? It means that those of you who are hoping so much for the election of one of the candidates or the election of the other candidate, we're doing so because you held the conviction that this could turn things around, that maybe we could again become constructive, that maybe again we could work together, that maybe again we could find a way to disagree on our disagreements, to fight the good fight without destroying the country, without destroying one another. And as we look at our social structures that are based on external power, we come to this startling realization. That's not possible using this system of governance. Now, I'm not advocating another system of governance because I don't know what it will be, and I don't think it will be created by a person, by a brilliant thinker. It will be created by 8 billion people learning how to co-create. That's even more than cooperate. Whatever our new system of governance is, we must create it together. And we must create it from authentic power. Because if we create it with fear, then we're not creating anything new. The world that we are awaking in is a world that is built on external power. That's why we can't change it with external power. If we try to change other people, and that's exactly what every election campaign does, if we try to change the way that other people think and then behave, which means vote, we are pursuing external power. And that means that we are contributing to the world more of what it's already made of. We contribute nothing new. Nothing changes. The world remains based on external power. Our interactions in it continue to create violence and destruction, and that's not going to end until you create authentic power. Now notice I didn't say until the world creates authentic power, because multisensory perception gives us another way of looking at ourselves. Your choices, what you do, and in particular your choice of intention, your choice of love instead of fear, which in from a five-sensory perspective might be called self-help, personal development, anger management, all of those things may seem insignificant, but from a multi-sensory perception, your choice of love or fear is the most powerful and significant thing you can do. It affects everything. It affects your personal experience, of course. It affects every collective in which you participate. It affects our most inclusive collective, the human species, and it affects life itself. The effects of your choices of intention between love and fear go far beyond the realm of the five senses. All of this is nonsensical. It doesn't make sense. It literally doesn't add up to the intellect. The intellect and the five senses are partners. They go together like this. But the intellect is a poor tool when it comes to understanding authentic power and non-physical dynamics that multisensory perception is now allowing millions of us to understand and to experiment with. Dynamics such as the universal law of cause and effect, or karma, and the universal law of attraction, which means energy attracts like energy. So, if you understand that the election of this person or that person, this party or that party, this way of thinking or that way of thinking, cannot and will not alter the situation that we are in, the political situation. And political, by the way, means pursuit of external power. So obviously, a new understanding of politics is going to come into being. And a new way of governance is going to come into being. Can you imagine how exciting it will be? And in fact, it now is, once you realize it, to begin to participate in what that new system of governance will be. And the first step in creating it is to create authentic power yourself. Because until you do, until you can distinguish within yourself the difference between the intention of fear and the intention of love, no matter what you do, can be used in the service of fear. And if you're not aware of what your intention is, it is used in the service of fear. Are you an environmentalist? Well, look carefully at what you are to see if being an environmentalist makes you feel better about yourself or superior. Do you belong to one party or another party or no party at all? Look carefully at that and see if doing that makes you feel like you have the inside track. Look at whatever you are doing and see if it's giving you a self-image that feels good to you, if you want to be seen as a philanthropist or a good person or a sensitive person or a gentle person or a kind person or a caring person. In other words, if you're not aware of your intention, you will be acting from fear. And that means creating violence and destruction, even if the cause that you are committed to appears to be worthy, such as peace on earth. Consider these things. Consider them carefully. Because until you do, you cannot create a world of harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life. Until then, you cannot be an activist for anything but fear, which means for anything but destruction. But once you can do this, once you create authentic power, once you can distinguish love from fear in yourself, and you do distinguish love from fear in yourself, and you choose love no matter what is going on inside of you or what is going on outside of you, then you can be an activist, any kind of activist you want, an environmental activist, a political activist, a social activist, an economic activist,
a social justice activist.
a spiritual activist, and you are free, because then you are moving through the Earth School with an empowered heart, without attachment to the outcome. Without attachment to the outcome. And that is the creation of joy. That's how we started with Linda's comment. That's the creation of joy instead of happiness. That's the creation of a world based on harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life, instead of one that's based on discord and competition and hoarding and the exploitation of life. All of this is now apparent, if you're willing to look at it, in the American election. It's well commented, it's well known, it startled people in this country and around the world that it's been so bitter, that it's been so contentious, that it has thrown up two candidates who are so disliked. And not only that, disliked evenly. Half the country considers one of the candidates the worst possible candidate for president that history of the United States has ever produced, and the other half of the people consider this candidate the best thing for the country that could have happened to it. One half of the people think that one of the candidates is not to be trusted, cannot be trusted, is an embodiment of everything that's not working, and the other half are so happy that things are changing because they don't like an embodiment of anything that now exists. And notice it's not a lot of people want one and many more people want the other. It's almost even. It's almost 50-50. Look at the symbolism in that. The election, some people say, is ripping the United States apart, but it's not. It's fear. It's fear that's ripping us apart from one another. It's fear that always separates from us from one another. And if you want to change that in your life, that's the way to begin changing it in your country, in your community, in your town, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your school, with your classmates, with your colleagues. It all begins with you. If you're trying to change them so that you'll feel better, then just look at one of the two parties in the United States. Pick the one you least like, and you're like that one. Because that one is the one that's most apparent to you, interested in itself and not in the common good. The one that you voted for, you feel is interested in the common good. But that's looking at it from a five-sensory perspective. Mm-hmm. Expand yourself to the multi-sensory perception that is yours, that is born in you, and expanding in you. And from that perspective, you will see that putting your energy, committing yourself to the defeat of an opponent, to the defeat of a conflicting perspective, is the pursuit of external power. What if you put your energy into the defeat of fear in someone else? Same thing. That's the pursuit of external power. You can't defeat fear. You can only challenge it in yourself, and then move beyond the control of fear in yourself. That's what this call is about. That's what we want you to think about until our next call. And until then, open yourself. Open yourself completely to a new understanding of how important it is to create authentic power in this world that is now a new world.